I'll open the meeting with acknowledgement of country. Council would like to show its respect and acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands of elders past and present on which this meeting takes place. Apologies to leave of absence. We are all present. Does any council request a leave of absence? No. Confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Could I get a mover, please?
I moved.
I have a question about them, actually.
Happy to second.
I'll just get a second.
Sorry.
Who seconded?
Councillor Lyon.
Yes.
Now. So just in relation to what we resolved in
Page two.
On page two.
Thank you.
To reconfirm its prior position in relation to acquisition of land in the proposed Dunoon Dam area as shown in attachment one and strategic interest to the future water strategy. What I wrote down when we did that was in and land of strategic interest. The way that it's written at the moment doesn't quite make sense. So I was just wondering if people were happy with that.
Yes.
And my name was spelled wrongly somewhere, but I will let that one go. Yeah, oh, there we go. On
yeah, so there's a couple that was
So what was that change? So we've just got it for the amendment again.
Reconfirm its prior position in relation to acquisition of land in the proposed Dunoon Dam area, as shown in attachment one.
And land of strategic interest. So it's just adding land of strategic interest. Because at the moment it just says and strategic interest, which doesn't.
Yeah,
appreciate that. Thank you.
And there were some names.
Yeah, we got those.
Any other? Now there's talk on a debate on the minutes of the previous meeting. No, I'll put that motion in. All those in favour? Those of interest, general manager, very safely. Councillors, got any disclosures? Nope. And notice the motion's nil. Next one's 7.1, and I'll hand over to the general manager to take it through the election process.
So, councillors, before I ask for a mover and seconder, I've received two nominations for chair and one nomination for deputy chair. Just confirming there's no others. I haven't received the date. No. Because I've received more than one nomination, we need to resolve the type of voting. So historically, we've done a show of hands. I just want to confirm an open ballot is acceptable by everyone. Okay. And could I have a mover for that, please?
Happy to move it.
Sandra, and could I please have a seconder? So Gordon. Okay, so as I said, I've received two nominations for chair. The first nomination I've received is for Councillor Musgrove, and the second nomination for Councillor Cadwalder. With a show of hands, could I please have the vote for Councillor Musgrove, please? Two, three, four, five. And Councillor Cadwalder, please. One, two, three. I declare Councillor Musgrove chair.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I've received only one nomination for deputy chair, and that's Councillor Cadwalder. So congratulations, Councillor Cadwalder, deputy chair. Yep. Please put that to a vote. All in favour? Unanimous? Thank you. I'll hand over back to the chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much for re-electing me to this position. I always feel proud to be member of Rouse, and also to have the privilege to be their chair, and I appreciate your support and congratulations, Councillor Cadwalder, the deputy chair, and I'm sure we can work together in the future for the better of our region. So thank you very much again. Takes us to 8.1, page 13. Did I get a mover, please? Councillor Rob, second reply. Councillor Rod, brilliant. Councillor Rob.
Yeah, the ARIC charter and the thing went around the
ARIC members and we had some input to it and made a couple of changes. I think they were pretty interesting to see the different perspectives, mine specifically coming from a councillor's perspective. There's been a lot of updates put in there and I think it's pretty good. It's pretty standard, really. And hopefully it'll be a nice process that will help us be more informed.
Thank you. Yeah, we've got a list from.
Yeah, like the presenter. So we've received one nomination. That Andrew Scott, I'll just witness that document. So for Council Rob, so we've received one for Council Rob. I haven't received any others.
You ask if there's any other nominations. Is there any other nominations?
And we'll jump in.
Bob, we've been doing such a good job.
Congratulations, Councillor Big Rob, on your election.
Thank you.
Just like to point out on page 34, the register of participating organisations under shared arrangements. Still got me there, but Michael is the new chair of Norjot.
Thank you for that. Council will update that.
I just had a couple of questions too.
A second.
Thank you, Chair. I was just interested in the very wise, I'd say, note that's in the papers around this, the fact that there's potential for more sharing through the joint organisation in terms of auditing. I think the report suggests that the audit costs for Rouse alone come in at something, was it $32,000 a year? So presumably, is there time, I'm just interested in how it would work, is there more time in the day if, say, another council was to piggyback on?
So, through the chair, those audit costs are referring to the external audit. We don't have control over that. The state government made some changes several years ago where the auditor general basically goes out to tender on behalf of the sector, and we have to pay the cost for that as well as obviously their overhead costs associated with that. The ARIC, in terms of those things, were more around like internal audits, where sometimes we use externals to do an internal audit where we may have those skills in-house to be able to provide that at a more lower target, except for those compulsory external. Or what we've done with ARIC, which is that shared arrangement, instead of having to pay for a separate ARIC committee altogether. So that was the real angle or the opportunity there.
That's what I was referring to.
Not so much that external targeted, because unfortunately with those changes we've lost control. That's all now externally handled.
So sorry, I might have misunderstood, would have been correctly. So does the report suggest there's room for sharing in terms of the ARIC committee?
Correct. Yes.
And so is there additional capacity there? From the committee, how does it work?
So yeah, what we did when we considered that idea for the Northern Rivers Joint Organisation was we had the conversation with the panel members. The rate that we have at Rouse is substantially less compared to what some of the rates are within the region based on the workload. And we had that conversation that, again, the workload from the NRJO was going to be reduced. So that was where there was a reduction in that sitting fee that was applied to them. We had that conversation. Did they have capacity? Was there any concerns with the panel? Everyone at that time said there wasn't any capacity issues or concerns, and they thought it was a good idea in terms of being able to show the power of that shared arrangement. If there was other councils that were interested, there's definitely an opportunity again to do a similar approach. Is there capacity? If there is, yes, and we can have those conversations. That's been that approach. For us, there is a lot of synergy between the joint organisation and Rouse as not being a general purpose council. So the focus areas are very similar. But that being said, that doesn't mean that a general purpose council wouldn't benefit from that as well. And we may benefit as well, getting that different lens of some of the challenges. So Yeah, it hasn't been looked at fully yet, like in terms of something formal out to the councils if there's any interest. Each council's got some different rules in place. So some of the councils at the end of each election term, they refresh their panels. Others, they've just, like similar to us, they've just got a committee that once they hit their terms, then they will replace the members. So there's, each, like I said, each council's got some different arrangements, but more than happy to reach out in a more formal sense to see if there's appetite to coordinate that as well.
Thank you. Well, Chair, I just would make the comment that obviously there's ways to make cost savings, as has occurred in this case. Obviously, it's great news for ratepayers. So it's good to see this happening. And I gather that times too, there's been difficulty in finding the right people to do that particular job. So that makes sense from that angle as well.
There's a couple of points. One on that as well. Just with the non-voting councillor members, I think there'd be much more of an appetite for councils to save money now that the councillors don't have a vote. But I just wanted to ask on, remember the previous arrangement with me also sitting on the NRJO chair, is the same thing continuing? I'm happy to do that. So
yeah, so that we've got to do a similar type of report up to the NRJO, and it'll be up for the NRJO to resolve the position they want as part of that. So we won't dictate that. So it'll be a decision for the NRJO. So they may be comfortable with that arrangement, or they may want to have a mayor to be that representative.
Fine.
So that's, I can't talk on behalf of the mayors, but that'll be what. Yeah,
but decision. You guys don't know what we're talking about. So the council position is a paid position for NRJO, and I've refused to take the money and done it as a donation of the NRJO. So hopefully that continues, whoever does it.
Any other debate? Will I take that as your right of reply?
Yeah, that's right. No right of reply.
That motion and all those in favour? Carry. Page 36, 8.2, request for an MC at the International Women's Day event.
I'd like to move that Sarah and I be the representative to MC the event.
Want to do it?
Yes. I'd love to do it.
I heard you say
I'll take requests.
It's the dancing we're worried about.
I still need to confirm with my school that I can get the time off. So I was wondering, Sharon, if you would be happy if I'm unable to do it. Or
now I've got citizenship ceremony. So
there you go. So I'll make sure I'm available. Unless you're okay.
Yeah, thanks for asking. I'd love to. I'm like you, I'd love to. But I was invited last week by Richmond Valley Council for female councillors to go. And so I knew when the date came out that I wasn't available, so I was a bit sad. So I hope that you can go. Very much so.
And open to everyone. Are we allowed to attend that?
Sorry?
Are men allowed to attend that?
I've already RSVP'd.
I think I did too. I was just making sure.
There you go.
Yes.
I don't want to intrude.
So if you get stuck, I should.
Yeah, that's upgraded. Yeah, I've got it on my calendar as well. I better put on a dress. I'll have my hair out.
Yeah. Can you do that up on the screen?
No.
Are you able to put it all off?
The do
you need this piece of paper? No.
Just tell me how long there it is.
This thing,
we're just going to put it up on the screen. Nominate new cabinet. It's scary. Sharp.
Oh, God, I haven't looked at it. Hello.
Picks up everything.
Yeah, so you're still have
something. It's so bright in
here. Yeah, chair.
I'd just like to say it looks like a great event. Thank you.
I'll just get a second. Can I get a second for that, please, Councillor Humphreys? Sorry, Councillor Cadwallon.
It looks like a great event, and thanks for organising it. And please note my apologies that I'm unable to be there
because I'm a citizen.
I was very impressed with the the guest. I can't wait to meet up.
I know. Great.
Yep, so it's up there. So
Do I send that large?
Resolve that council approve Councillor Enright to be the MC for the International Women's Day event.
Are you happy with that?
Yes.
Okay.
MC Enright.
So the mover and seconder are happy with that?
Yes, thank you.
Any other speakers?
Maybe the math was wrong.
Nope. What do we call it?
That's right.
Put that motion and all those in favour. Carry unanimously.
We should get that five.
Okay. 9.1, page 37. Could I get a mover, please? Quarterly budget review statement. Mr. Bright. And a seconder. Councillor Rob, did you put your, sorry, I had my head down writing.
Yeah.
Councillor Brown.
Yes, look, I thank the staff for the work that's gone into that. It looks very favourable in terms of where it's sitting. I had a couple of questions, Chair, around page 40, the grant funding for the Wilson's River Tidal Pool. Is that in addition to the works we saw on the workshop, or is this additional? I was wondering.
Andrew,
it's page 40.
Yeah, so, through the Chair, I'll just ask Andrew for an update. I think it is additional, but I'll just confirm.
So, it's up to.
If you look at it, you look at the numbers.
We'll take that on notice, but we believe we'll just confirm it.
Okay. But just on that particular point, and reflecting on our workshop in which we were able to.
Councillors,
we were able to see the works going on in that vicinity on the Wilson's River. So impressive. And I know will make such a difference over the longer term to the quality of our water, not only in terms of where we're taking water out to potentially supplement the drinking supply, but also throughout the whole system. Indeed, what we see eventually down at Ballina, which I know many of us appreciate on a daily basis. So it's so good to see Rouse doing it and working with landholders in this way, because it is really hard work, as people in this room would surely know who've been associated with it, in trying to rejuvenate riverbanks. And the decaying riverbanks have the biggest effect in terms of water quality. But it's very hard for landholders to do it themselves. Having Rouse come in, obtain this funding and work with landholders, I think is a wonderful model going forward. I was interested to, when you break down the numbers in the report, that there's $28,000 allocated to restore just under 700 metres of riverbank. So it's, you can see it's expensive business because of the manpower involved. So I guess it would perhaps be around $30,000 to do a kilometre. But if we are able to continue this sort of program, and I hope we would be able to, there's no reason why we can't as an organisation. And so, I mean, you think in 50 years, if we did a couple of a kilometre a year, it's really going to have a huge difference. I think for many, that sort of time frame is not long enough, but at least we've started and at least we're showing how it can be done. I think it's a great model, and I just wanted to commend all the staff who've been involved in making this happen and making those arrangements with the landholders, and indeed the landholders who are willingly taking part. We met one on our workshop who's enthusiastic and seeing the results on his farming operation.
Thank you, Chair. Any other speakers on item 9.1?
Just a question and a couple of comments. I'd just like, has Rouse had any previous experience with a specialist recruiter? Or is that just a sign of the times?
So through the Chair, we've dabbled in that space a couple of times for some very bespoke roles where we have not been able to get that type of talent within the region, so particularly some of our more senior roles. So, for example, specialist recruiter was used to recruit my position. So over the years, we've had different companies and things like that, but not consistent. It's really been, we've tried to attempt for traditional mechanisms a couple of times and have not been able to get a suitable pool for. And so, yeah, it is a bit of assign of some roles, particularly in those engineering or project management that are difficult to get within our region. That's been traditionally where we've struggled most.
Thank you. The report paints a really good picture of, you know, the to's and fro's with the expenditure and the income. The CO2 prices, what a shock that is, and hopefully they can find a temporary solution to that. The other thing that really popped out to me was the Wilson source. Like we know that it's expensive, but when you see a savings when it's been out of action, it's incredible to see that much money, isn't it, saved in electricity. And very good news, a long way still to go, but it's very good news for the levies, the Korokai and the Bungawalpen levies. Thank you.
Yeah, through the chair, just asked to give an update on, we had one more funding opportunity for the Bungawalpen, and unfortunately we were not successful in that. So I'm just trying to recall from the top of my head, is that attempt 9?
8 or 9.
That we've now gone for that levy and we're still unsuccessful. So we've asked for some feedback to better help inform why. We knew it was going to be tough because that fund is heavily hammered or oversubscribed by substantial volumes, but we're very frustrated at the same time that we've done a lot of work to try and get that project over the line with every agency that's possible. So in my whole career, I can't recall any other asset that has had that much attention in terms of trying to get some external funding to assist. Like, it's, yeah, hats off to Andrew and his team and Chrissy, because they've done a lot of work behind the scenes. Just unfortunately, I haven't seen the reward yet.
We're not giving up.
No.
10 times lucky.
Yeah, so I'll just ask. So staff have been doing a lot of work.
Mm.
Applying, what have we done in the way of advocacy?
So we've the chair and myself have met our local member, we've written to our local member, we've also written to the local member within Richmond Valley. We've spoken to Senator Watt
on three occasions.
He's then provided contact details within his departments. We've spoken to them. We've provided them details. So there's been the formal avenues, and then there's been the
CSIRO. Had him on the phone that day down at Bungawalpen.
Spoken to Jay couple of times there too. So we've done all the heads or the agencies that are responsible. We've been speaking with them, been getting obviously other contacts, talking to them.
Government departments.
Unfortunately, a lot of those departments have a lot of turnover. So you're talking to one person today and then there's another person. So we do go through a bit of the same old, same old.
Nine times. Have we had no feedback at all?
The feedback has been traditionally it's oversubscribed and there's other higher priority. When you look at the scale, not just in our region, but you also look at within the state, whilst it's one of our most critical projects, that's why I can see the other side of the issues that the state's doing, but we're not saying that. But it is that the state has been absolutely hammered, right? And this is a reality of a needs base and there's other priority projects. So we've been looking at how we can elevate that priority of those types of things, and that's been the areas of feedback we've been seeking to say, okay, well, what are those areas that you feel that we're not communicating, because we see the risks on our side, and trying to get that feedback to help inform our submissions.
So the up-to-date cost is 1.5?
Yeah, around 2 now.
I'll take
chairs close to 2, yeah.
It keeps going up, doesn't it, too? Gee, thanks, Andrew.
The thing we've got to remember, too, is this is the main one we're being knocked back on all the time. We have to look at the other side of the page, what we've received. Like, we've had some fantastic funding from the flood damage we've had, like tens of millions of dollars. And this one seems to just bog down for some unknown reason. And we can't understand why, but I've got hopefully some meetings in the Sydney in March, and I'll be banging on doors down there, too.
Can we, given the importance of this and the lack of assistance from state and federal, can we as a council look at some way to try and fund it ourselves through borrowings or whatever? I mean, what's the go there? I just think from the community's point of view, they can see that we're investing so millions of dollars in new corporate headquarters, but this important piece of infrastructure is leaving the community exposed is left wanting. We're putting our hands up for the state or feds to fix it. I mean,
well, I'll let the general manager speak on the funding side of things, but I think in reserves we've only got a couple of $100,000. If we went and borrowed money, we would have to pay, put up every council's contribution to the fund.
Correct. There's a couple of parts there. So in terms of our other expenditures and things like that, that predominantly comes out of our bulk water, which is healthy compared to the flood funds. The flood fund, and we can't cross-subsidise. Yes, we can do things like internal borrowings and those types of things. However, the condition of the assets within the flood fund, we would have a significant impact to the long-term financial plan, where there would be even, we've already got aggressive price increases in it and would see even higher price increases. I think the other part to this is that the asset is working. So it's not like that there's a massive risk here. It has been reinstated. The funding that we're doing, and this is the conversation, and this is why I think also is a bit of the issue. It's been reinstated to an acceptable level. Yes, there's been some slumping and those types of things, and we're working on that. However, what we're saying is that this asset has failed. Every time there's an event, it keeps failing, and that we see that whilst there's opportunities to get funding through disaster funding and things like that to reinstate it, that that's actually not good expenditure of public money. We believe that further work should be done to actually make that asset stronger to handle those events, so the damage and the impact is not so substantive the next time. So that's the, I think, the slight difference here with something like Wilton Source, for example, where it's not working at all. We've been able to get funding. We did get funding and we've reinstated, but not to every time we get a moderate or above that type of flood or it tops the levee, that's where there's substantive damage that's occurring. And that's what we're saying is when you take a step back, that doesn't make sense. And there is a risk to rouse. We could get a flood that overtops, but a natural disaster is not called on that. And then we've got a problem that we've got to foot the bill because there may not be a funding. So that's why we're very proactive in there, but it's not like that there's no levy at all. So I just wanted to make sure everyone's on the same page.
And there is still some work going on, as you say.
It's been repaired back to what it was, and we got funding for that. So the government hasn't said, no, you're not getting any money, we have it. But we want to take advantage of what they said after the floods. Build back better. We want to build it back better. That's what we're trying to do.
So we've got EPAR funding for that.
Andrew?
Sorry, just through the chair, there is work underway at the moment on the levy with some funding through the EPAR funding. So that there's some investigations happening this week. And then that will lead to the repair of the rock armoury that was damaged after the flood. So that's there are works going on there down there at the moment. They're expected to be completed by the end of May. But that's literally to repair that damage and like Phil said, it'll reinstate the levy for what it was before the 25th flood.
So we are getting something, but we still need to get it covered. We understand it where in the future it doesn't breach.
That's the question next. Under EPAR funding, it's the current condition, current requirements for levies. Have the conditions improved or tightened up to make them stronger so they don't fail like that thing keeps failing? We're getting the same thing exactly again.
Exactly. It's basically returning it to its pre-flood condition, whether it met, you know,
current
design standards at the time. I mean, really, the design standards are a little bit sort of, they're a little bit
stagnant,
I guess, in terms of rural levies, and particularly ones that are of this age. So it's kind of hard to nail down an exact design standard when you're trying to reinstate something in that environment. But, in terms of returning it to its pre-flood condition, that's what we've been given the funding for, and that's what we have to do.
And that's why we may not be getting successful for the improvement, because they could say, well, you've got funding to put it back like it was. But we don't. We'll keep trying. Yeah. Any other items on the quarterly budget review? General Manager, I might get you to just give us a quick run over of the page 38, the impact on reserves as a whole.
Yep.
I think that's very important that councillors understand.
Um, Yeah, so basically what at the moment we did foreshadow needing loans this year. However, we've been able to not call on those loans. There's a lot of work that's happening behind the scenes with our finance team. We've actually got a couple of pressures that are coming. We've got obviously the relocation. We've got deferrals of works from that were business as usual from the flood, but those works have been pushed back to later years because we've had flood recovery works, and we've also got future water. So there's all these things happening that have just coming at the next couple of years. So there's a lot of work with our teams between finance, our planning to try and smooth those things out, keep a steady price path as much as possible, but also just to ensure that we don't have these massive peaks that we just can't deliver and then drop down to minimal amounts, because that's not how the real world operates as well. So that's where we are. We will need loans next year, that's without doubt, but right now we've been able to do enough work to avoid loans this year, but it just drops those down a little bit. But that's a better outcome than putting loans on and needing interest. Or paying interest for
I just thought that it was pretty important for the future. The others, Councillor Braun, want to reply?
I just wanted to thank you for the information, specifically around the Bungle-Walden levy, and continue to wish the Chair and the General Manager well as they pursue available funding for that. It's interesting in that the way that it's played out in local discussion and in the media since the need really arose after the flood is, I think it came off the idea of this flood repair situation. And as we've just heard, really is more an upgrade. It needs an upgrade. And I'd suggest needs an upgrade as we face climate change events and bigger potential floods. And we've heard a lot out of Canberra around funding that's going to be available to help our local government and communities adapt to climate change. You would think that something like this would well and truly tick that box. And indeed, perhaps that's an avenue for us to pursue, not only for that, but I think a lot of the other, a lot of other important projects that Rouse is associated with, including fixing riverbanks, where I started at the beginning. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I close the debate. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Carried. 9.2, page 61, retail water bad debt write-off. Move it, please.
Yeah.
Councillor Gordon, second. Councillor Catalina. Councillor Gordon.
I think we've asked the customer, we asked certain things of the customer. The customer has done those things. We are now, we have an obligation to settle this matter. He's met his obligation and I think it's only right that we do so.
Councillor Cadwallon.
Yeah. I just want to ask, when you're engaged the services of the debt collectors agency, you usually pay a commission on recovered monies. Is that the system we used? Because I would think you'd pursue it right to the end rather than negotiate it through. Just paid in their commission.
So I'll just double check with finance, but my understanding is with the debt collectors, the cost for them is added to the bill. So we don't. So if the amount that's recoverable is $1,000, we still see that, but the customer will pay the $1,000 plus the cost for the debt recovery agency. So we don't see a reduction.
So I would suggest that we negotiate with debt collection agencies as you can do, and that becomes then whatever they recover, whatever that percentage might be. So you're not actually paying more, you're dividing what they can recover for you. So I'd suggest we look into what the offerings are from debt collection agencies. So if it's a $5,000 debt, whatever their percentage is, they keep. If they don't recover anything, they don't get paid.
Correct, and that's what happens at the moment. We don't forward a bill, and I'll confirm that with finance. But yeah, so if they're unsuccessful for whatever reasons, we don't. It's still zero cost to us right now under the current arrangements.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only when the bill's paid or they've started the garnish or whatever mechanisms they're using is when they recover their costs. So normally the agency's the first letter or the first correspondence is zero cost to both parties. And that typically has a high uptick in terms of people going, oh, actually, it's elevated to another level and get quite serious. After that, that's where typically cost is incurred. But that's some detail I'm not across. I'm just used to traditional processes. Is that correct?
Yeah, Tim? That's correct. And I'm probably just to add to that is that whatever fees we're charged through a debt collection service, we charge that back onto the customer as well to recover that.
Yeah, good.
Can we can we just cut them off once it's paid? Can we then just cancel their account?
So
we don't.
We don't cut off because water is essential. What we do, what we can put in, is a water restrictor, which really limits the flow for basically several drips to fill a cup, but not enough to do much else than that. Because there's two components here. One is about a debt. One's also about paying contributions in terms of getting the water provided to the building. So those headworks contributions. So there's cutting the service off completely and then re-establishing it there's been a lot of examples over the years that that's not the best outcome. The water restrictors is the better outcome.
Just they've got that history, you know.
Anyway. Yeah, that's what I was saying. No, it's going to happen again, it seems. But why can't we just leave it on the titles? And if it ever sells, we get all the money back. Why do we write them off?
Yeah, so through the chair, unfortunately, Helen and Lauren are both not here, but I can take them notice. My understanding is water is not one of those ones that we can. Rates and things like that, the general purpose councils have the ability, but we as a county don't have that ability. There's some, we've explored some things, I just can't recall off the top of my head all that detail, but I can get a briefing from Helen and Lauren at a later date to provide that. But there is some differences between what a general purpose council can do, particularly in the rates, and what we can do as a county council.
I was just going to say, well, can you ask about cavitable interests in that briefing as well? Because we could probably do that.
Maybe it's the next workshop, you can put that on.
Yeah, we'll add that to the next workshop. Just provide workshop. A bit of background.
Yeah, I think the councillors understand that. Council.
I was curious to note that I think in recent times, this is the second bad debt I think I've seen where someone skipped off overseas. Is that a recurring these bad debts that people skip the country? And is there nothing then that's you can do?
He lives overseas.
Through the chair, I'm not aware of, and I'm just looking over finance at the moment, if they've seen a pattern, but I don't believe there is a pattern. I think it's just a bit of coincidence at the moment. If these are quite rare.
Right.
Just finally, it says there is a condition that they have to pay all the bills in the due date. So in a year's time, if that's starts lagging again, you know, month, 2 months, can we then reinstate the $5,759 debt? Because, I mean, if there's a condition that says to write off if you pay your bills on time, then they start not paying their bills again.
I'll have to take that on notice and talk to our government about exactly. My understanding is if we write a debt off, it's written off, but it'll be the process that we do for round the second time if this does occur a second time. But I'll take that on notice and confirm that.
Can I just ask if this is in then the last item on our agenda, this is this the one that was deferred to come back with more information?
So, yeah, through the chair, this was considered last year, and the concern around the table, if memory serves me correct, for councillors was there was no commitment at that time. There was just some verbal. So the councillors wanted the write-off to be deferred until Feb this year, which is why it's here, to see if, has the customer made any attempt. And there has been commitment and payments made, and that's why it's come back now for consideration. But yeah, at the time that was the concern, the councillors was, well, we've only got a verbal agreement, we'll actually see if a payment does come through.
Yeah, that was your concern, I remember you.
Yeah. I was just going to ask us I'd really like to see this deferred until we get the information back from staff about if we can stick, like, because I believe we can put interest on this on title and like what you just suggested about if he doesn't, or I don't know if it's a he, MC Hammer's brother or something. So if it doesn't comply with the agreement, that we can reinstate that money. And I believe there is something with the Act for General Purpose Councils. I'm just not sure about Rouse. But if the agreement's not made, we can recover that money later. I'd hate to see this happen again and again.
So that's an amendment with the move.
Just to defer to the next council meeting for the
second amendment. Yeah. With the mover of the recommendation, like to include that.
Just before we do, in the background here, it says that we've actually
entered an agreement.
Yeah, we made an agreement with this guy. We went in with $2,000. The advice coming back from the collection agency was that we go back with $5,000. We count off at $5,000. He agreed to $5,000, paid the $5,000. Yeah. Made an agreement. We're done and dusted. He's paid the $5,000. He's paid his $1,428.62 to date, which is the outstanding bills. And he's paying something else. I can't remember what it was.
But it's an agreement that I read is also having that connection, that
future about. Can I just I'll ask a question. Did we actually go to this customer and say, look, we'll negotiate with you? And this is the price we'll come up with. So it's
yeah, I'll just refer to finance because there was backwards and forwards with the customer. Yeah.
Through an agency, yes, yeah. That's the agreement they reached with the customer.
Okay, I think if we've done that.
He's fulfilled his obligation.
No, Councillor Ross. Then my next question, as I always ask, at Lismore, why is this before us if the deal was done and we have no say in it? So that would be the next question.
Maybe that came from maybe our policy, but also at the last. When was it last year?
I'm sure that's the direction we gave at the last meeting.
Yeah, at the last meeting. I'm just finding out that was a direction we gave staff, and they've gone down that direction. That's what.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the direction that was received in August last year was that council defers the decision until February 2024. Council meeting with no interest to be paid on account during that period. Two, staff to continue work with a customer for the debt recovery of $2,500. So that was, there was the discussion there about.
Pretty sure you and I moved it.
Yeah, but yeah. It was coming back for decision.
I think it was actually Sarah and Sandra who moved it based on my.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to be raising it.
I'll have to pull back the notes. There was a lot of discussion at the time. It's going back to all this last year. My memory's not the best that far.
He's done it, busted. What's next?
You still want to move your amendment?
I don't know what we've done. If we've made an agreement, we've made an agreement. If there's an agreement done, if staff are saying there is an agreement, I guess I won't move an amendment.
So through the chair, I'm just going to suggest we've discussed this last year in August. There was some direction given. We've been able to resolve it. My suggestion is that we still have the workshop and go through, but that's about setting the tone for all new customers going forward.
Applying
those arrangements that if this does occur again, this is the process, instead of trying to deal with it ad hoc.
And I was going to ask you just before that, in that workshop, can we also be notified of when we actually start putting restrictors on? Are we leaving it too long to take action? Because we in Richmond Valley, we've actually got 3 customers now with restrictors.
Great plan, I think. That's a great idea. Cut them off.
But you can't cut them right off because they need it for health, but you can't cut them right off. It can reduce the flow. And when they've got a little spray coming out of the shower, but.
We have started with a couple of restrictors lately, which generally have the effect of. People paying very quickly. So there was a period where we were pretty lenient over the floods and the like, but last year we had reinstated putting restrictions on, and the times we've done it the last few months, it's been very effective. But so people pay. This one's difficult because the owner of the property's not living there. So it's from a
We had one lady who was very happy to have one on because a family, just a big family, just kept coming to our house and having showers. When the shower started dripping, they all didn't come. So she's.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Any more discussion?
So you don't learn anything at this meeting.
Councillor Gordon, right of record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Motion and all those in favour. Carried. We're now on page on 63, item 10, matters for information. Could I get a mover, please?
Yeah, I'm happy to move.
Well, the seconder, Councillor Humphreys. Councillor Humphreys, Councillor Cadwallader.
Yeah, look, I've just when I was reading these reports, the one on page 65 in the demand management, that's very impressive. The work we've been doing there with businesses, participating businesses, I thought that was brilliant and a good spread too. And of course, there was something in it for them to do it. We only had the restaurants weren't so happy to partake in that, were they? I read it here. Where were they?
Only one did out of the.
Only one, yeah.
65.
The walk.
Yeah. But I thought brilliant work from everybody involved. Well done.
Just go to Councillor Cadwallon, is that it?
I think so.
Councillor Rob?
Just a question on investments. I don't know if we have, can't remember if we have a policy on restricting who we contract with, but when we invest in, is it sustainable, we call them? Yeah. They're called sustainable investments or something. I'm trying to identify if we're losing return by restricting who we can invest with in that sense, in an increasing interest rate market by trying to identify a particular type of investment. And we're hearing from Lismore in particular, it's hard to get money into these investments because they're very restricted in the institutions that can offer them because of their ratings. So then you don't meet the requirements for TCOR and all that sort of thing. So I'm hoping maybe I don't have stuff and find out if we are dropping like 0.5% or 1% in returns on invested money because we're doing what our policy says to do with fixing money in certain investments. Do you, I hope I explained that well.
No, so for the Chair, this has been raised a couple of times and we've got a little bit of flexibility in our policy compared to some of the other councils, but I'll just pass over to Jono.
82%.
Yeah, so we recently updated the wording around those because we previously called them ethical investments. Yes. So we updated it to basically address institutions that don't invest in the fossil fuel industry. And at the time, we did a bit of forecasting around rates, but generally those institutions have a lower rating, so they do offer slightly lower interest rates, but the financial impact of that is almost negligible. So at the moment, we're getting very good rates across the board, so that's not really having an impact on the revenue that we're generating.
And just a question on fossil fuel industry. Is there a bank out there that doesn't invest in fossil fuel industries? Because you know, everyone puts their money in the bank. We don't know who's in their customers, so they're pretty much dealing with fossil fuel, every bank. So.
So we use a website for it called Market Forces. So it's really about institutions that directly invest in the fossil fuel industry, but it doesn't address, you know, some involvement at a different level.
Thank you.
Just firstly to Councillor Rob's question around the banks that do, I note in Ballina's report to the council tomorrow that several of the big banks actually have divisions now that are separated out, including Westpac, that deal only in non-fossil fuel investments. It's been a very contentious issue at our council. I wanted to comment, Chair, on the water production and consumption report for January on page 75. I always love this report because the numbers and the graphs are so interesting. First of all, interesting to note that the two major dam water storages at the start of the year pretty much full, thanks to the high rainfall, which is good to help us avoid the need for water restrictions that we were fearing several months ago. So we've got through another summer without having to inflict too much pain on the community, which is good. The water consumption numbers are always interesting as well, as per usual. Ballina's well out in front this this month accounting for 36% of total sales. But what is also interesting is that Lismore and Byron have level pegged, accounting for 28%.
Circular,
Byron 28.8% and Lismore 28.4%. I understand, talking to the GM yesterday, that this reflects firstly that Lismore consumption has dropped back since the flood and hasn't quite recovered yet, but also the fact that Byron has all its visitors during January in the early months, and they use a lot of water. They don't hold back on their showers, it seems. Just interesting figures, as I said. And
sure, not sure the point you're making there.
But just consumption.
It's an interesting.
We want to encourage our visitors to be more water-wise.
We do, and we have a look at it. Sounds like, yes, that might be the go. But, I mean, of course, when you have more tourists overall, whether they have long showers or not, your water supply demands will go up, won't they?
But the same happens at Evans Head. Look, it's only a small community, but at Christmas it doubles, so the water usage goes up. But they're there supporting the businesses. And
that's right.
So through the chair, and we've discussed this one before with demand management, of the difficulties of that transient population that comes in through the peak period. So this time of year, the summer, Christmas is peak for a lot of our coastal areas, and we do see that uptick in consumption. And it is difficult to get water-wise messaging and things like that through, because to be honest, people are in holiday mode, and that's what they're doing. We see that across the board in a number of our areas. The most dramatic is, I think Chair's right, Evans Head, where it's a big difference because it's quite a small, but Byron has crept up recently, but they've also done a lot of work in terms of their non-revenue water too. So
some of our visitors like to get their fluoride-free fill too.
There you go. Touché.
I was waiting for that.
The ones with all the teeth cavities.
That's right.
I was just interested, Chair, contribution from the Wilson River, which amounted to 8.79% of the total supply. I'm just wondering how that plays out, because obviously if the dams are full, that doesn't need to be used, but we did spend a lot of time and money up getting it all up and running again. In a typical summer where it's not needed, do we need to run a certain amount through to keep the whole thing working? How can you just explain?
It has got a level.
Through the chair, we've got operating rules for Wilson Source. So in a normal year, it's all based on the levels in Rocky Creek Dam. So once we hit the trigger level, I think it's 95%. Once we drop below 95% Rocky Creek Dam, that's when we trigger Wilson Source. That was the concerns, and councils remember last year about the changes to the restriction triggers and that, because we would have normally historically had Wilson Source available and used that after the dam dropped below 95, but we had that large period where it wasn't available because of the impacts of the flood. So if the forecasts were eventuated like they were at that time, we would be in water restrictions now. So that was why those triggers were put in, because we missed that typical buffer. Whilst it's very expensive water, it is by far the most expensive within our system, provides that water security. And this balancing act that we have behind the scenes of balancing the cost of water versus water security, because we can have a very secure water source, but it comes at a premium price, or we can have a very cheap water source but no water security. So we're constantly balancing that as we bring on, as part of future water, new water sources. Those balancing and those trigger points will need to be recalibrated and new plans put in place, because each of them are going to come at different costs, different benefits from a water security point of view. So there's just If we were a business that was solely around dollars, we would not run Wilson Source, but run the gamble of only kicking it in right at the 11th hour. But the cost of then to truck water in after the fact is not possible.
And you can't wait for the dam to get too low, because that means the Wilson River's low, and once it gets too low, you can't pump out it. So then you're
not low, but the flow's low.
Yeah. So it's
same height every day, mate.
It's a balancing.
Sorry, I should correct myself there. The actual figure is 0.89% from January, so that's less than 1%. But that would reflect just keeping things going.
Yeah, so we a couple of things. Wilson Source, we did get back operational, but only one pump instead of the multiple pumps. And then we've had that downfall, so that brought the dam up over the Christmas New Year period. I think it was just after Boxing Day we saw the dams hit 100%. Right. So all that has, you can probably see from the graph of Rocky, like it went, we were about that high 70s, low 80s, and then we shot up to overflow after those couple of rain events.
Thank you.
That's what's fortunate, very beneficial for our region. We can quickly top up our dam. However, because it is so small, it can quickly drain too.
Any other items, yeah. Councillors? Councillor Rob?
Last one, last page, very last, second last box, the Lismore Council confirmation about the ownership of the new upgraded and renewed assets. Anything going on that? That came up at Lismore, and I think I had to explain that, you know, it's not right for Lismore to be able to go and borrow money or get grant money, build assets, and then Rouse responsible for it. I think everyone sort of accepted that. So has that come back and been resolved yet?
So through Chair, I haven't had an update yet about where those external works are at in terms of asset plan. Andrew has only just come back from annual leave, so I'm not sure. I'm putting him on the spot if he's had an update or has had a chance to go through. So I'll take that on notice and provide an update once he's had a chance to go through his inbox.
And on a related item, any movement on the ownership of the levy itself?
So that they're all tied together as part of that. So, once we've got some more background, I'll provide a briefing to councillors.
Thank you.
John? Councillor Cadwallon, the Roderick Torrey.
No, that's all good. That just answered that question. It was the only one that I had as well. So thank you to be continued on that one. Thank you.
That's it. With that motion then, all those in favour, carried. Us to item 11, confidential matters, and I believe there's nil, there's no late on.
Correct.
And councillor, that brings us to the close of business. So thank you very much for your attendance, and everyone have a safe
fortnight.
Thank you.